This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The curtain opens on a new production of Puccini's opera, Madama Butterfly, to reveal a set of regular geometric spaces, an absence of props, and the very fertile imagination of Polish director Mariusz Trzelinski. Trzelinski is a filmmaker who was attracted to opera, he says, by the sham of it all, the artificiality.
My idea is to make opera absolutely opposition to the film, because I think that film is very realistic, but in my imagination, opera cannot be like that. If you listen the music, if you listen the singing, you understand that it's something which is absolutely different from normal situation in life. And these kind of conventions need special convention of movement. From that, I find opera very artificial. And I think the most important thing in opera is form.
In Trzelinski's Madama Butterfly, produced by the Washington Opera, the American sailor B.F. Pinkerton inspects his house in Nagasaki, and as he walks from room to room, the set moves with him. In each space, he is set before an illuminated backdrop of Japanese text. The rest of the stage is dark. Later, when his adoring, but only temporary, Japanese bride, Cho-Cho-San, appears, she is attended by three mimes, who throughout the opera foretell her fate. Mariusz Trzelinski says in the years since 1904, when Giacomo Puccini's Butterfly debuted in the style of verismo, or realism, movies and television have ruined opera's ambitions to be naturalistic. So he takes an approach that he calls minimalist.
What's the most important thing to me, it's that I want to play game with the audience, and it's game for imagination, that I don't want to show the people real scenography, real places. I think it's always more important to show them directions of what they should see. From that reason, we don't use a normal set. We don't build nothing. There is no architecture on the stage. The space is symbolized, and imagination of the audience should create real space. And for example, from the same reason, we don't use props, because I think that it's more interesting for the audience when gesture of an singers can create something, and that I call the game of imagination.
So Trzelinski's Cho-Cho-San is not costumed with an eye on 19th century Nagasaki. The onstage Japan that she inhabits is sparse, but it is designed to evoke our images of Japan, not those that struck Puccini and his contemporaries a century ago, and not the images that opera-goers have come to expect from previous productions.
Sometimes I've got impression that opera, you know, it's very, very old-fashioned, that sometimes when I come to the opera, music, I think it's always fresh, it's always new, because after many years we really know which music is really alive, and from that reason we play this opera. But sometimes the production seems like to be from different space, you know, that when I come to opera I feel that I enter to museum. And my idea, and Boris Kudlichka, which is a very young designer, he's 28 years old, is to put the bridge between contemporary art and the opera. And I think in this moment, opera can be very important for us, everybody. And that's all, that if I have to make Japan on the stage, I don't use pagoda, I don't use kimono, because it was so many times on the stage, I think it's terribly boring. And Japan for us, it's contemporary Japan. It means a special style of minimalism and simplicity. That means Japan to us.
And since everyone who goes to see Madama Butterfly these days knows how it's all going to end, and has probably heard it all before, the dances of the mimes, foreshadowing the end, give nothing away that we don't know already. They are part of the artifice of watching people sing their way through a familiar dramatic story. And Trzelinski says they also connect to Japan.
We try to find connection with kabuki and no theater, because I think that the theater and opera is art of creation, art of form. Fellini once said that sunset is really moves him, but only when it's creating in the studio.
He's only moved, you say, by the sunset when it's created for a movie, when it's artificial,
Yeah.
when it's a work of art. Some people would look at what you have described in opera, its artificiality, its rigid form, and see those as obstacles, as problems. That's, however, what you find as attractive about working in opera. Do I understand that?
Do you know that I'm this kind of artist that I always looking for something else, something new. And I start to make always new debut. From that reason, I was trying to making films, I was trying to make drama, then opera, I was working even television. And I think when I change the kind of art, it's like I discover a new land. And opera was, for me, it was a very great challenge. But from the first time, I know that I'm not a director of the world. I'm not director of the story. I'm director of the music. That all my imagination comes from the music and all my movements comes from the music. And I think I'm looking at some things from, how to say, different dimension. I think that sometimes artists, consciously or not, are capable of touching myths and archetype in their work. And sometimes they can speak about something which is more important than they think even.
Mariusz Trelinski. His production of Madama Butterfly plays through November 17th at the Washington Opera in Washington, D.C.'s Kennedy Center. You can hear an aria from the Washington Opera production of Madama Butterfly on our website, npr.org.
Our program is directed by Bob Boylan, edited by Mary Louise Kelly, produced by Christopher Turpin. The technical director is Bill Deputy.
The audio engineers include Linda Mack, Ivan Burketh, Preston Brown, Burke Hun, Cal Southworth, and Camille Connolly here in Washington.
Manoli Wetherill and Neil Rausch in New York City, Lorna White and Rob Newhouse in Chicago. Leo DeLaguila and Marcia Caldwell in Los Angeles.
Our executive producer is Jonathan Kern. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.